morning. Good to see you today. Appreciate that you're here. We have several visitors. Good to see each one of you, and also see some brethren who kind of had a rough week with illnesses to be able to be back out. Good to see that Angie is feeling better and able to be with us, and others too. Aaron and family are very struggling with allergies this time of year, but glad that he's able to be out, and others too. Don't intend to overlook. We're glad everyone is able to be here, although we still have some who are sick, and we continue to pray for them.
If you're visiting, we appreciate especially that you're among us. We hope that you can come back and join us tonight at 6 o'clock and Wednesdays at 7, and especially if we can answer any questions that you have about our work here, and we would be happy to do that. Any Bible questions that are on your mind, we do our best to go to the Bible and try to give God's answer to those questions, study those things together, that we can do God's will in our lives. And we want to encourage you in every way that we can toward that end. And so please feel free to ask any questions that you might have of us, and we'd be delighted to receive those from you. If you're not a Christian, we want to especially encourage you to give attention to your life in view of eternity, in view of God's will for your life, that God has, in His great love and mercy, provided a sacrifice for your sins and for the whole world's sins, His Son, Jesus the Christ, that He, in that death, provides a victory over sin, freedom from the bondage of sin, captivity, and the eternal death that it produces. We encourage you to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and to confess that faith this morning. Today, to repent of your sins against Him and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. He will add you to His church, to the saved, to the redeemed, the body of the redeemed, and to live with Him now and live with the sure hope of heaven as you walk in His ways, as you follow His will, as you walk in the word of His grace that's designed to build us up and give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Acts 20 and verse 32. So if we can help you do that, please let that be known at the end of our lesson. We look forward to an opportunity to serve you in that way. Concerning the church, as we mentioned it, that you can be added to it, one of the important points of the early church is that they praised the Lord. They served Him. They praised God continually. Acts 2 and verse 47 says, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the mark of the early church and the mark of the church today is that it praises God. And Psalm 111 says, praise ye the Lord. To praise means to extol. It means to get honor, to give glory unto God. The word hallelujah means praise Yahweh or praise Jehovah. And so it, by definition, means to shine. And therefore to make a show or to boast. That is, we boast in God. We give glory, recognition to God when we praise God. That's what praise is that we give recognition and honor to Jehovah. And so when hallelujah is said, it's an expression of saying, praise the Lord. I fear that word is used too loosely, too often, in a loose way, in a lack of definition. People say hallelujah over the most profane of things. When we use that word, we are saying, praise Jehovah. Would we go out? I hope that we as Christians do not go around saying, good Lord, and so flippantly taking the name of the Lord in vain, right? An empty use of it. Let's be sure we don't instantly use the word hallelujah. Because you see, it means praise God. And so when we use it, we are giving a recognition to God. The New Testament, and that's why we had Revelation 19 read this morning, is the Greek form of the Hebrew, the same word. Here's the Greek form, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And in that text, he is praised because he executes his true and righteous judgments. There in verse 1, as the great multitude in heaven recognize the salvation and glory and honor that is due Him, and their praise goes up to Jehovah. Hallelujah. His judgments are true. He has brought His judgment against the great harlot, the persecutor of God's people in the book and in history, as the Roman Empire of Rome would be and was judged by God. He avenged those who lost their lives for their faith upon her. Verse 3, hallelujah, as smoke rises up, as intercessions are made to Him, He hears the prayers of the saints. And we praise Him, hallelujah. And praise is given to Him because He is Lord omnipotent. Verse 6. The reasons to praise God are as infinite as He is. We want to use Psalm 111 this morning to focus our praise, to again remember and remind ourselves what it means to praise God and why we praise Jehovah. In this text, the psalmist is in the assembly of the righteous, and their praise is being given to God with his whole heart. And even so, we are to praise Jehovah with our whole heart in the assembly of the righteous. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. No half-hearted praise will do. No double-minded attempt to honor God will be accepted. The psalmist understands that God is worthy of every bit of his heart as he offers this exclamation of praise, of adoration, of recognition, of honor and glory unto Jehovah. Now, in fact, let's read all those verses to down to verse 6. Now note the focus as we go through this too upon the works of God. Because this becomes the focus of the praise in this particular psalm. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. And so as the psalmist gives his whole heart to the praise of God, to the adoration and declaration of the honor that God has in His due, he says, I will praise Him for His works. The works of God become a focus of why praise is heaped upon Jehovah God. In Psalm 40 and verses 4 and 5, we're going to look at several of the Psalms this morning in the various applications. In Psalm 40, verses 4 and 5, David wrote, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor turns aside the wise. Many, O Lord my God, are Your mighty works, or Your wonderful works, which You have done. And You cannot, and Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to You in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David says, Your works are wondrous, they're wonderful, and the thoughts that You have toward us are infinite. I am incapable of numbering and naming the things You think about us on a constant basis. God is always thinking of you. You get that point? And His works are attributed to that reality. His works are wonderful because He has you in mind. Because He has done great, because He thinks of you, He's worked wonders in this world. Chapter 9 of Psalm, verses 1 and 2. The ninth psalm, David wrote, I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. There it is again. I will tell of all of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. So once more, the focus is now with the whole heart, I tell of Your works. God's works become the springboard of the praise. If we are having trouble in our life praising God, honoring God, adoring God, we need to turn our eyes back to what He's done. That's what the Psalms are saying here. And in our text of Psalm 111 in verse 2, the psalmist understands that not only are God's works are great, but they are studied by those who take pleasure in them. They are recognized. They are considered. If we're having trouble worshiping God, we need to turn our minds back to everything that God has done. As you know, we sing the song, "Count Your Many Blessings." Blessings come from the hand of God because of the great work God has done. In Deuteronomy 4, verses 32 through 40 is an extended passage where Moses reminds Israel of the works of God and the reasons for their faith. And he says, "Remember, God spoke to you." Verse 23, Deuteronomy 4. Beginning. 32 it says, "Ask now concerning the days of the past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether any great thing like this has happened and anything like this has been heard." And he's talking about God bringing Israel out of bondage, constituting them as a nation, giving them His law, caring for them to this very moment as they're about to enter a land of promise that they didn't work for, didn't plan on their own. God is giving it to them as a gift, as an inheritance. He said, "Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you've heard and lived?" And he goes on in that extended passage. He says, "God's great work or evidence that there's no other God besides Him," verse 35. That He provides an evidence or an inheritance as His evidence. And then look at 39. "Therefore know this day and consider in your heart that the Lord Himself is God in heaven and above and on earth beneath. There is no other." The works of God establish Him as the only God and therefore the God that is to be praised. When we study His work, when we reflect upon His works, when we look at creation of which we sang, when we contemplate His work of redemption in the Son, when we meditate upon the church and its place in God's eternal purposes, when we reflect about heaven, and on the list can go. These are the works of God. When we look at our own lives because of the gospel, you see, you are a work of God in the gospel. Book of Ephesians. Go back and read Ephesians again and see God's work of redemption that is manifested in the blessing that He gives you as a Christian, and that His work and His power is to be in you. And that's why the church gives glory, praises God. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. God's work ought to be studied. We need to study them. That's what we're doing when we study His Word. When we meditate upon His Word, we are learning and reflecting upon what God has done. And that's our reason to praise Him. Look again, verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 111. He says that God's works are honorable, glorious, and righteous. Honorable, glorious, and righteous. Verse 4 goes on to say His works are wonderful and memorable. And time would fail us again to go through all of the things that God has done, but remarkably, everything that God does is honorable. We can't say that about ourselves. As much as we like to, we sin. We fall short of God's glory. But He is the one to whom we look, and He is the one we praise. That we extol and honor because He is always honorable and glorious and righteous with wonderful works, memorable works. After all, is that not what the Lord's Supper is about? Is remembering His work? We remember the Lord's death on the cross. We remember His great work. And so we praise His name. He says, "I will praise you with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. Does he have your whole heart right now? Does he have your whole heart? Not 90%. Does he have all of it? That's what we're called to do. Let's go back to the ninth psalm and pick up a couple of points there about the works of God. Praise is given to God because he dwells in Zion and hears his people. And remember, that really is an overriding theme in the book of Revelation. God hears the cries of his people. Yes, how long, O Lord? So we will not be avenged. Those who are under the altar, those who give their lives to the cause of Christ. You see that unfold in the book of Revelation, so that in chapter 19, the voices resound, hallelujah. Salvation, the vengeance has occurred. So in Psalm 9, you see in verse 11, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. God is with his people. He dwells in Zion. He rules over us. And he listens to his people. Declare his deeds among his people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. God hears our cry. God hears our petition. He is with us. You know, the gospel says that we are his people and he is our God. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. Right? He said, you're a temple of the living God. That God dwells with us and we with him. You see, he is in Zion. And that's his reason for us to praise him. We need to remember that he hears us. He remembers the cries of the humble. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us have grace, therefore. Let us come with boldness and grace before the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and help us in time of need. The verse says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. God is in Zion, so he hears our cries. He listens to his people. And we can pray to him. Praise be to God that he hears our prayers and he responds to our petitions. That's why we praise him. We know he hears us. We know we're his children in Christ, in the gospel. And for that, he is due our praise. He is due praise for the salvation that he possesses and that he provides. And back in Psalm 9, 13, 14, here he says, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You have lifted me up from the gates of death. David had people who hated him, people who were trying to kill him. But he says, you have lifted me up. Have mercy now, that I may tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. I will rejoice in your deliverance. I will honor and glorify you in the gates to the citizens of Zion, to the daughters of Zion. Because when I had enemies who wanted me dead, you lifted me up. You rescued me. You delivered me. But now, that gracious and compassionate God is the one who offers sinners salvation in his Son. That same God who lifted David up, who protected him from King Saul and others who were trying to kill him, is the God who has a hand to rescue us from the death of sin. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be saved. And so he sent his Son to accomplish that purpose, so that we could put our faith and confidence in him, trust him, but follow him, and have the provision for our souls. And that's the point that he has made in the psalm, is God, in giving deliverance, as he delivered Israel, as he delivered David, as he delivers us, Christians, from sin and death, he is the one who also provides. He doesn't just save us and throw us to the wolves. When he brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage, He made great provisions for them. He sustained them in the wilderness for 40 years. He provided the whole land of Canaan for them, fruitful land that others had labored in. Well, Psalm 111 and verse 5, the psalmist said, He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. Israel received the inheritance of the nations, the land of Canaan. That was their heritage. That was their inheritance given them by God. And for that, He deserved praise. But you see, He's given us with our provisions that sustain us in this life and sustain us into eternity. You see, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. In John 6 chapter, verse 35, He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Come to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Put your trust in Him to feed your soul. Not just to feed the flesh. We praise God because we have food to eat. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. But we also remember not to be anxious, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. He said, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow is anxious for its own thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. So God provides us our daily bread. God provides us eternal bread. Jesus Christ, His Word, He has the words of eternal life. John 6 and verse 68. We praise Him for that salvation. That's why we come and congregate, that we assemble together to worship God, is to praise the fact that He has saved us from our sin.
Amen.
He has saved our souls. He deserves every honor, every praise, every exaltation, every hallelujah. You see, man doesn't deserve the hallelujah. God does. Not man is the one that prays. God is praying. Well, back to Psalm 9, that same text and that same application, you see, He raised us from spiritual death. This is the work of God. We're talking about the focusing of the work of God in all this. So just look at Colossians 2 and 12 in that respect. It says, you were buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. Here's the working of God. Here's the power of God at work in saving the soul of the sinner. And you see, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. This is God's work of removing sin. Then we're buried with Christ in baptism. The circumcision of Christ is the operation of God. And that's why we praise Him. He lifted us up. When our enemies would put us to death, He has lifted us up. Psalm 9, 13, 14. See, He's given deliverance. Now, in the gates of Zion, to the inhabitants of Zion, we will praise His name for His salvation. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we worship. That's why we adore His name, is the salvation that He's given us from sin and death in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, that's why you need to become one. So you can join in legitimately praising and honoring God for the great salvation that you receive from Him. And by doing so, you're saved from oppressive fear. People are afraid to die many times. Sin and death bring fear into our lives. Inasmuch as the children are partakers in flesh and blood, He also likewise shared in the same, that through death, this is Jesus' death on the cross, He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus destroys the devil at the cross. He said, well, he still exists. That's not the point. The point is He destroys his power there. He overcomes sin there. We have deliverance at the cross and releases those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It's Satan behind sin and the fear of sin and death. That's his tool. Jesus gives us hope. Jesus gives us life. Jesus gives us the expectation of eternity. He releases us from the bondage of the fear of death. And we praise His name for that. Worthy of praise because of the release from bondage of fear and death. And He gives us an eternal inheritance. Just like He gave Israel an inheritance of the nations, seven nations, stronger and bigger, mightier than they were. And He gave them their land. Likewise, He gives us an even greater inheritance. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, an eternal inheritance that we have reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The psalmist praises God for His work of giving Israel an inheritance. We praise God for that same God work to give us an eternal inheritance, for the power of God that keeps us, guards us, secures us through faith in Christ Jesus. God is at work today in our salvation, and for that He deserves and He demands our praise. He is worthy. Worthy art thou, as we sang from Revelation 5 and verse 12. Worthy art thou of glory and honor. Well, go back to Psalm 111 with me. Here's another reason why God's people with their whole heart praises Him, and that is because His works are true and just. Not just that He works, but when He works, His works are true and just. The works of your hands are verity and justice. That is truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. You have sent redemption to His people. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Holy and reverend is His name. You see, He says, it is God's impeccable integrity that His works, that is reflected in His works. God is steadfast. His works are sure because His character is impeccable. Everything He does is grounded in truth and justice. Never does God do anything capriciously, frivolously, in a self-serving way or manner or motive. His works always and without exception are anchored in truth and in justice. God is not a man that He should repent, nor the Son of Man. You see, that he should change and repent. Numbers 23 and verse 19 makes this point. And this is the contrast. God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do? Has He spoken and will He not make it good? When God speaks, He makes it good. He's not a man. He never lies. God, who cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2, Paul refers to it. His precepts, therefore, are sure. They are steadfast. They are sound. They are solid. They are trustworthy. They are immovable. Look at Psalm 119, verses 89 and 90. Psalm 119 and 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven." That is, it is fixed. It stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Your word is established, it's settled. That's why we praise Him. The commandments of God that He has declared to us, that He has appointed for us, they are true, they are just, they are settled. We can rely upon them, depend upon them, trust in them, be assured by them. And all that grows out of the integrity of God. You see, God's integrity is unblemished. Now, He redeems according to his covenant, doesn't he? That verse said, he sent his redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. God has now commanded his covenant in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 9, 15 through 17. A covenant that contains an eternal inheritance. You see, here's the contrast. Here's the covenant to Israel that gave them inheritance among the nations. But now here's an inheritance, or I'm sorry, here's a covenant that's been commanded by Christ that gives us eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9, 15 and following. For this reason, he's the mediator of a new covenant that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So this is why we praise God. We have an inheritance.
Amen.
In heaven. Now, you see, any lesser reasons fail to honor the impeccable integrity of Jehovah. We praise his name because at every turn, everything he has done and is doing is our reason to praise his holy and awesome name. His integrity is at the top of that list. Because you see, his work comes from his integrity. What he has done and everything that God has revealed is right because God is true. Therefore, his work reflects to that. And so in Psalm 111 it says, holy and awesome is his name, or reverend is his name. God is set apart. God is the one with the recognition. In Luke 1, 68 and 69, Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, when he received again his ability to speak after John was born and was being named, he spoke filled with the Holy Spirit and said, prophesied saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. God did this. God's work, raising up the strength of salvation, a horn of salvation to Christ. John was the messenger, forerunner of the Christ. And Zechariah prophesied that in what was coming about in his day was God's great deliverance, God's great salvation. One final point in the psalm. These are the reasons that we praise him, because of that God's work is true and just. Final point, we praise him because his works bring us and cause us to fear him. When we reflect upon his works, we are driven to fear him. Today is to give him godly reverence, to give him the praise, the adoration, the awe. As the verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding has all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Know how he ends the psalm, the same way he begins the psalm. His praise endures forever. Praise the Lord, his praise endures forever. And as those who are wise, fear him. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. You want to be wise? The first thing you do is fear God. Honor him. Mold and shape your life so that every aspect of it gives him honor. Reflect the recognition of him. The sacrifice of the lips, the fruit of praise that we give in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. You see, he is worthy of eternal praise. Creation. We sang about it this morning, Psalm 148. Let them praises give Jehovah. He spoke and they stood fast. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. When I consider the work of your hands, David said, what is man that you're mindful of him? Let's study his work of creation, and that produces praise to his name. Go back to Psalm 64, because you see, there's also a reason to praise, and that's because God will not leave sin unpunished. Now remember Revelation 19, Hallelujah was shouted to Jehovah because he avenged upon the harlot the blood of his saints. He will not leave sin, wrongdoing undone. Psalm 64, verses 5 and following indicate this point. Psalm 64 and verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil manner. He's talking about the wicked here. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. They have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. Sinful people often devise very sinful, manipulative schemes to accomplish their evil. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. There's joy, there's rejoicing, there's praise, and trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory, shall praise him. Why? Because he sees the schemes of the evil, and he does not leave that undone. He addresses that. He brings his righteousness and his righteous judgment to bear. Every right and wrong will be righted. And that's a reason to praise God. We praise him because we know sin and evil will not win the day. We praise him for the redemption we have in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 at length describes that. We talked about that already. He's worthy of our praise because, you see, God is at work building us up. He is at work using us to fulfill his purposes. That's what Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says. When he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he went on to say, because it's God who works in you, both the will and the work for his good pleasure. When you have faith and obey God, God's at work in you. And that's a reason to praise him. God has not cast us aside in our sin. He has drawn us close to him. He has saved us in his Son. And now he says, I'm going to work in you. And my power is going to be seen in you. That's why we praise him. We praise him for what he's done for us. And what we then can do for him. That he would take us and use us in his service, in his purpose, for his purposes. Praise him. Because he gives us such a blessed opportunity. He's worthy of praise. Revelation 5:13. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne as of the Lamb forever and ever. Yes, the praises that we give to God are because his works are infinite and matchless. Romans 11 and verse 33 says of the works of God, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, past finding out. We can live a lifetime plumbing the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God, of his ways and judgments, as he's revealed them to us in his word. And at every turn, we find cause to praise him, to cry out, hallelujah. So as a church, we must give him honor and praise. In Ephesians 3, we'll end here, we mentioned it earlier, we close at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Here's God's power working in us through faith. Now to him. He has the power. He has the ability. It's at work in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let us not forget who it is we serve and who it is we praise and why we are here. We are here to give him the praise he is due, the honor that he deserves. Not ourselves, not any person, only God. Hallelujah.
praise the Lord. His praises endure forever. But you can't really give him that praise if you're unwilling to yield to his works. And that's what becoming a Christian is all about. Is yielding in faith to his works. And obeying what he says that we have to do to be saved by his power. Because of his works. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent this morning of your sin. Confess that he's the Son of God. And in that action of faith and repentance and confession, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. We want you to do that now. God wants you to do that now. To begin to praise his name and honor him by full submission, a full surrender of yourself to him to be saved in his Son. Won't you come as a child of God, if there's sin you need to repent over and need our prayers about something, all together we stand and sing. Won't you come?